But on our phone right now, we are joined by another guy who likes baseball.
Mm-hmm.
This much we know. He is the 43rd president of this great land of ours, the great George W. Bush.
Thank you.
How are you, Mr. President?
I am excited about the Rangers.
I like the Rangers too, sir.
One game out and moving. It's very exciting.
Yes.
How do you negotiate your friendship with Nolan with what's going on with the Astros and Rangers?
Well, I hope I haven't seen him in a while. First of all, the friendship is real. Secondly, I was so grateful when Nolan came over to kick off our baseball exhibit at the Bush Center, and he answered questions from Tom Grieve, which was a thrill for everybody. You know, I haven't talked to Nolan much about his excitement about the Rangers. I would hope that he would be pulling for them.
Well, you would hope, at least. I don't know about that. But, okay, so you mentioned this this exhibit that's going on right now at the museum. First off, let me say this. As a guy who lives here in town, Mr. President, this museum, that you put together here, this ain't no chump change. This is great. It's a phenomenal place, and I imagine that you're beyond proud of it.
Well, I'm thrilled people like it. It's going to be here forever. You know, we're honored to be on the SMU campus. It's easy to get to. A lot of people come to see it, and I think some of the exhibits are very meaningful. Mainly the 9/11 exhibit, because it's powerful, it is very emotional, and it needs to be, because the farther we get away from that date, the more likely it is people will forget the lessons and of that day, which is evil is real. There are people who murder the innocent to achieve their objectives, and how other people live elsewhere matters to our national security, and the threat still exists, and, you know, this exhibit hopefully will remind people of that.
Powerful is a great word to describe that exhibit. Also, you've got The Pitch coming up. That's going to show Friday.
Yes, it is.
And that's on ESPN 30 for 30. And that is the story of you throwing out the first pitch of Game 3 of the World Series about a month or so after 9/11. And I was up there for the screening of the film a few weeks ago. Quite good, quite interesting, and it really does a great job of putting me right back in that place and making me think about that day the way I did back then.
Well, thank you. Yeah, they did a really good job. You know, I'm honored they chose to do it. It was probably the most memorable event of my presidency, other than the day I heard we were attacked. I think the reason why is because I was when I finally made it to the mound, I was one nervous dude. It was a nerve-wracking experience because the expectations were high, and the catcher, Todd Green, looked really small. Baseball felt really heavy, but it was a memorable event. All my emotions and senses were pulsating, and the place just went nuts. And it was, you know, as a baseball fan, and it was my first World Series game on top of it. So it was I'd been holding out for either the Astros or the Rangers, neither of which happened when I was able to go to the games.
I was struck by two things. Number one was the way you walked out to the mound from the dugout when you were introduced. And number two, you really were intent on throwing a good pitch out there. You meant business.
I did, yeah. Well, probably some of it was ego. On that film, you notice I bounced a pitch in Milwaukee, kind of humiliated me. I saw my dad bounce a couple, which humiliated him. And I didn't want to be humiliated, but more importantly, it wasn't about me. It was about helping New York recover. It was, in many ways, playing baseball was a sign of defiance to the enemy, that we're going to live our life. Baseball is a part of our life, and we're going to go forward. At one point, as I remember the story, they were thinking about moving the game out of New York, mm-hmm. and you know that would have been a huge mistake. And the other thing was they considered me going to Arizona to throw out the pitch, but that wouldn't nearly have had the symbolic gesture as going into the city itself. And so that's why I chose to go there.
Did you know prior to walking out there, prior to arriving at Yankee Stadium, if you could have fast-forwarded a few years later or 15 years later, how powerful an image It was of you walking out there and doing that so soon after what had happened. Was that in your mind at all, or
no,
was it just part
It really was. It's like that bullhorn moment, you know. That was,
yeah.
That was really unscripted, and, you know, it turned out to be, I guess, a kind of an iconic moment. But, no, I really didn't realize it. I was just intent upon getting the ball over the plate. In retrospect, I guess I should have thought that this was a chance to really send us. I knew we were sending a signal playing baseball. I just didn't really realize the significance of the pitch itself until later on.
This is George W. Bush, the 43rd president of this great land of ours, with us here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. I'm curious, at this time of year, do you find yourself thinking about that day a little bit more than you ordinarily would?
Yeah, I do. I tell you what I think about. I think about those who lost a loved one. The day in which, you know, I went over there and did the bullhorn event, I went after there to a convention room full of people waiting for their loved one to come out. And, you know, I just knew they weren't coming out because I'd just seen the rubble. And I think about those families a lot. I think about the lady Arlene Howard, for example, who gave me the badge of her son. By the way, at the game itself, right before I went out and threw out the pitch, George Howard, he's the guy that died in the Twin Towers, his brother was on duty guarding the stadium, and I had a little visit with him. So it was kind of almost a you know, it was a full circle moment in a way. But, yeah, I think about the families. I think about I tell you who I really think about a lot is the people on Flight 93. People have forgotten that moment, but it's one of the most heroic moments in the history of our country when people these passengers charged the cockpit and drove the plane into the ground in order to save other lives. And I was very emotional when I first heard about it. I still get emotional when I think about it.
Do you, I mean, when you process this day, when it, you know, with the anniversary coming up, and, you know, from the moment that you're told, you're sitting there at that elementary school in Florida, you know, from that time and for the next 48 hours, is it a blur to you, or is that, do you have a relatively photographic memory because of the circumstances of what went down?
No, it's not a blur at all. I remember a lot of it. I remember getting on Air Force One after being motorcaded to the airplane in Florida and seeing the expression of the flight attendants who were just, you know, like petrified. They were just really, really worried. I remember calling my mother. I finally got a hold of them. I knew they'd be worried about me. And I said, you know, where are you? And they said, we're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I said, what are you doing there? She said, you grounded our airplane.
Wow.
I remember a lot. I remember being determined to get out of Omaha, Nebraska, where there's a bunker to keep people safe, and to get back to Washington to give the state, speech to the nation. And I damn sure wasn't going to be, you know, cowering in a bunker with his enemy rejoicing at that moment in time. And so, you know, I remember choppering in from Andrews into Washington, seeing a deserted Capitol with military checkpoints on the roads, and seeing the Pentagon still smoldering, and Frenchie LaRue, who's a Marine pilot, taking you know, evasive action on Air Force a Marine One right before we landed on the South Lawn. So I remember it very clearly.
Was it a conscious decision on the part of you, or perhaps somebody else, or maybe a collective decision to that? One of the ways for everybody to see that we were going to get back to normal and we were going to get going with life as we all knew it again would be through getting baseball up and running. Was that that was a conscious decision on the part of?
Well, on the commissioner, and I can't remember if I consulted with Bud. You know, I knew Bud well.
Right.
But absolutely. It was a part of. You know, I can't take credit for it. I'm confident that somebody checked in. I said, yeah, you got to play. It's like Franklin Roosevelt. This letter, by the way, that Roosevelt wrote to Commissioner Landis saying, you know, let's play baseball during World War II is on display there at the baseball exhibit at the Bush Center. And no doubt in my mind, and I was deeply worried. See, people forget, guys, that right after 9/11, our economy shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, I went out to, I remember flying out to Chicago and standing with United Airlines and American Airlines personnel and saying, you know, you get on these airplanes, America. Don't let the enemy crush us economically And because, you know, I had known that bin Laden had bragged that, you know, a $50,000 attack caused, you know, billions of dollars of damage of the great Satan. And so I was determined as best as I possibly could to calm the nerves of the country, assure them that we would go get these guys, and at the same time try to get people, you know, living life as normal as possible.
Wow. So the exhibit that's there now, the baseball exhibit concerning presidents, America's presidents, your dad was a baseball player. You grew up as a baseball player. Did you both play? Did your dad play at Yale?
Yeah, he did. He was really good. He was the cap. So he went to the war after Pearl Harbor, and then went to college afterwards. And a lot of those older guys in the military were going back to college. A lot of them went to Yale, and they were a really good baseball team. They lost 2 years in a row to the 1 year to USC, 1 year to Cal Berkeley in the College World Series. And he was the captain of the team his senior year. They were good. A couple of guys went to the majors on his team, and he was a really good player. First baseman. I was a really mediocre player.
Good owner, though.
Loved it. God, it was one of the great moments, great periods of our life. It's for a baseball fan, it was a wonderful experience, and we made a lot of good friends. I still stay in touch with, you know, some of the old hands out there, Tom Grieve and, you know, Hoggy, the clubhouse man. It's I love going out to the ballpark.
So did you think, you know, whenever that took place and you get a hold of the team, that looking forward that this was going to be something that you did and maybe kept in the family for generations to come? Or it just seems like the governor thing kind of came out of nowhere and interrupted it.
Yeah, it did. It did. We were having a wonderful life. You sound like my wife.
thank you.
Why do you want to interrupt this wonderful thing we have? And, you know, I obviously was influenced by my dad's public service. I was deeply disturbed about an education system that was really not performing and therefore leaving people behind, and one didn't think the current governor was doing much about it. So I decided to make a run for it. You know, I had mixed emotions, of course, when I first made the decision. I had no mixed emotions afterwards.
So did you have a chance here in 2010 and 2011? I know, did you throw out the first pitch at one of those World Series here?
Yeah, it was the Giants game. My dad and I, my dad at this point in time had real trouble walking. And Nolan Ryan asked if Dad and I would come throw out the pitch. And we took I'll never forget sitting out in left field with him, just father and son. And Buster Posey came over out of the blue. I think the pitcher was warming up or loosening up out in left field or something, not in the bullpen, by the way. And Buster Posey came over and said, I want to thank you, too, for your service to our country. It was really, I mean.
That's cool.
It is cool. And then all of a sudden, they said, the guy driving the cart said, we're heading in. And Dad and I went out there to the mound where we were greeted by Nolan. And it was, wow, it was very emotional for me.
So how painful was it for you? Because we talk about this all the time. We talk about Game 6 in St. Louis all the time. For you, a guy that, you know, was a big part of that team for so long and you know, an ardent baseball and Ranger fan, did it tear you apart like it did the rest of us?
Absolutely. Look, there's been some defeats in Texas sports history that used to pain me, like when the Oilers lost to the Bills. They were, like, leading 35-3 and lost, or Fly Slamma Jamma, or when the Astros lost the 80 series to the Phillies. And, you know, but nothing compares to Game 6. Laura and I were on the ranch watching it. We were convinced we, you know, had witnessed a World Series championship, and it was crushing. And I still think about it. And when I give talks, and like in St. Louis, you know,
it hurts.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't bring it up. I mean, it was unbelievably painful. And if it's painful for you and me, imagine how painful it is for the players.
Yeah,
nobody's gotten over that. No, nobody ever will.
I never have, and I don't think I will either. It was crushing. Now, I guess the best way to get over it is when the team ends up winning the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, the Mavericks, it happened with the Mavericks. They blew that lead in against the Heat in 06 and came back in 2011. So, I mean, it can happen. I'm just hoping it happens sooner than later, you know?
Yeah, we're getting kind of old, aren't we?
Thank you. Yeah, we are.
You guys are doing great, by the way. A lot of my pals listen to you. If I can ever get the Secret Service to turn you on the station, I'll listen to you, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't you have control over that? Can't you tell them what to listen to?
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, I'd rather them be listening to their radios.
That makes sense. So you have the fifth annual Warrior Open Golf Tournament that's coming up here at the end of the month at the Las Colinas Country Club.
Yeah.
And that's something that you've been a part of now, I guess, at the Busch Center has been for the last couple of years.
Right. So in the fall, we have a golf tournament. In the spring, we have a mountain bike ride, the purpose of which is to really let our vets know that, A, I love them and respect them. B, that the Busch Center is trying to is doing some positive things about PTS and jobs, and three, to have a good time. And so this tournament's coming up. There's some remarkable people who play in it, by the way. One of whom is a guy named Chad Pfeiffer. Chad lost his leg. He shoots at is a Las Colinas Country Club. He shoots one over on 36 holes. He the winner of this tournament, by the way, gets to go to Lake Tahoe and play in the in that famous people
that tournament. Celebrity tournament, yeah.
Yeah, celebrity tournament. And Pfeiffer came in third. He lost to Mark Ripien and some hockey guy. So catch this. This guy gets his leg blown off in combat and ends up being a great golfer. And so he'll be there. He lost last year, by the way, to a former Delta team guy. And it's a wonderful experience. I played golf today with David Graham, the old PGA U.S. Open champ, and he and Lee Trevino, for example, will be there along with other pros that will be playing, in the pro-am. So it's really a fun event.
All right, the film, The Pitch, will be on ESPN 30 for 30 this Friday night.
Yeah,
a shorter version of the film is included at the special exhibit at the library.
Yes,
Baseball America's Presidents, America's Pastime, and of course, out there, the 9/11 section in the permanent collection is incredibly powerful and something everybody needs to see.
Hey,
well,
you know what?
Guys.
Hey, yeah, if the Rangers end up making the playoffs and going back to the World Series, let's get you up here and talk serious baseball.
Let's do it.
All right?
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet.
There he goes.
Hi, George.
43.
Good
George
dude.
W. Bush,
yep.
Mr. President.
That's a trip. That is
awesome.
A massive, massive trip.
Still funny.
Yeah.
Yep. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
I'd rather them be listening to the radios.
You know, I'll bet if you're in his inner circle and he trusts you, that's a damn good hang there.
No doubt.
Damn good dude.
No doubt.